When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good night.
Good day. Welcome along to episode 81 of Ready Player 2. This episode is both going to be short and full of sausages. It is the Sausage Fest episode. Also, if you are in no way interested in Forza Horizon 4, you may just want to fuck off. Yeah, you may just want to bugger off. Maybe go to the next episode. Maybe go to the last episode. But it isn't all going to be sunshine, rainbows and unicorns farting happy daisies, because we're going to talk about everything to do with Forza Horizon 4. This is going to be a bit of a mini pod. A little bit of a mini pod. But this is a game that uniquely, almost every single member of Ready Player 2 has played. Almost. And not only have we all played it, apart from L, not only have we almost all played it, we almost all played it at launch, literally on launch day, which for us is about as bleeding edge as you bloody well get. So with me today, I have Ross.
Hello.
And we also have Lee.
Oh, you used my name. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I nearly went with...
The confusion every time is not worth it anymore.
I know, it's unbelievable. So I thought I'd just go straight for it. Look, we're not going to talk about loads of other games this podcast, because there's loads of other games that we could talk about, but we're not going to. We're just going to talk about Forza Horizon 4, and that might seem weird or dumb, and it might be both of those things. We're not yet sure, but it's a massive game. Shut up. It's a massive game, and we've got to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So, if you're not into driving games, here's a big thing. I'm not into driving games.
No, neither am I.
I, not to put too fine a point on it, fucking hate driving games. Well, I just don't, it's not my genre.
We've got a nice balanced viewpoint here then, because I quite like driving games.
Yeah. Well, I have played driving games, it's not that I haven't, but my experience of enjoying driving games pretty much boils down to GTA 5.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the older Need for Speed, like the Need for Speed Underground games. And the thing is, it's not even the driving that I really enjoy in those games. It's the other stuff.
The
kind of getting money and the tooling up the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the driving simulator part of it is kind of like superfluous. The actual, the brum brum bit is largely not the part that I'm particularly interested in. So, ages ago, however many ages ago this was, Lee convinced me to buy Forza Horizon 3.
Wasn't that long ago, you know?
No, it wasn't that long ago. Because it wasn't, well, it had been out for quite a long time before.
2016 it came out. I think we played it a year after release.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah. Last year we played it.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I enjoyed it. Not the best game I've ever played.
I have to admit, but I took a punt on this one because we're quite prideful on what we recommend to each other. And if it sinks, it's a bit of a bad mark against our names. And
my hit rate is not high.
No,
I'm not swinging 100. You know,
no. Swish.
So, yeah, there was a lot of missing. So look, right, we played Forza Horizon 3. I enjoyed it. Not the greatest game I've ever played in my life, but it tided us over. You know, it did as well for a while.
And then when they announced
Forza Horizon 4, I thought, well, I ain't going to get it at release because it's going to be 40-odd quid, 50 quid, something like that. But it's in the Game Pass.
Mm.
And it's in the Game Pass on release day. So off we toddle, £8 for the Game Pass, or if you're Rossi, already had it.
Yep.
and we just get it, and that's it. We can play it, and it's cross-play, so we get to play against people on Xbox or on PC.
Yeah, if you can stand waiting for them to load up, it's fine.
If you can stand waiting for them to load, we'll talk about all of that. Right, look, first impressions. This we're going to have to go through a few different things here. We're going to have to go through the stages. We're only talking about one game for an entire fucking podcast. We're probably going to have to be slightly analytical about it. First impressions. What was your first impression of this, Ross?
I really enjoyed it. It gave me the feel of speed that I like from my racing games. I'm not a big like simulator racing games. I tried to play Forza Motorsport and I just get bored because it's just very serious racing. Whereas I like Burnout, I like F-Zero, and even Mario Kart to that extent. They just feel fun and they're quick. But this gave me a feel of Burnout straight away because the cars you get in just... they just feel fast, and the world looks beautiful as well.
Yeah, this is the thing. As you're as everything's whipping by, you're not just looking at a kind of prefabricated racetrack. You're looking at a little world, a compressed version of Great Britain that
they're
free
to go wherever you want.
Yeah, it's an arcade racer. Yes. That's what me and Lee were talking about before. It's not. It's not a racing simulator for the likes of, I don't know, Project Cars 2 or.
Assetto Corsa.
Dirt Rally and Assetto Corsa and all these other ones. It's an arcade racing game to the point where if you wanted to play this with a wheel, with a steering wheel, because Lee's got one because he's all fancy pants and he likes his racing games. So you plugged your wheel in, didn't you, Lee? And how did that go?
that was an hour of frustration I don't want to repeat, and an hour of my life I'm never going to get back. It didn't go very well at all. It was touted as actually being more compatible with force feedback wheels, so I was quite excited about this. Right. And with three, I tried to plug in my steering wheel and had similar experience with that. It's just, do you know, the problem is, it's not that it doesn't work on the wheel. It does. It's fine. The problem is that it works so well on a pad. It's so good on a pad that you just can't play it on anything else.
Yeah, you mentioned you were amazed at how good the force feedback was on the pad.
Oh, yeah. So, I know Rich hasn't experienced this yet, but you've got Xbox One pads, and I've got Xbox One pads. I've actually played it on a DualShock 4 as well, which is also good. But there is force feedback on the triggers on an Xbox One pad that I wasn't aware of, and I've never felt it in any other game apart from Forza 3 and this one. It's even better on this one. So when you are steaming into a corner and you start braking, if your wheels lock up, you get force feedback on your left trigger. Yeah. And you can feel it, and you can actually ease off to the point where you're braking more efficiently because you can feel the level of grip that you've got on that trigger. Yeah,
your controller is helping you get better at this game.
It's amazing.
Cheats. Yeah. Hacks and cheats. I don't have any of that force feedback bollocks. My pad's just dumb.
Yeah, I thought this was coming.
Fuck's sake.
So salty.
Peripherals are a weird thing because most of the time you just think of them as one way.
You
send shit to the game and you get a nice satisfying rumble every now and again, and that's about it. But this is the first time I've heard of force feedback on a pad, not necessarily on a steering wheel or anything, but on a pad actually like sending something back.
Being
useful.
Giving
you some information from the game that you can use to make a decision.
That's why I wanted the wheel to work, because the level of force feedback you get on games like Project Cars and Assetto Corsa is that you can feel when like the back wheel is on the grass. You can feel it start to give way, to let go. And you adjust accordingly. This does that. It's really weird. This actually does that. I'm not so much if you're sliding sideways, but you get a bit of a rumble feel. But the braking especially, I'm not so sure it works so well on the accelerating if you're lighting up the wheels and wheel spinning. But the braking is just enhanced by the Xbox One pad. You're going to get one now, aren't you?
I want one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. There is an amount of want in me right now.
I've tried to convince you to get one for a while.
We need to get away because I started off asking a question and then we fucking diverged, which is something that we do.
It's me.
What was your first impression of the game, Lee?
First impression was actually the demo that I played previously. So there is a demo of this game available in the Microsoft Store, which is worth playing. They've actually included quite a lot of content in it and gives you a really good feel for the game.
You streamed some of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did stream some of it before release. And... So graphically I wasn't actually blown away to start with, especially in the demo. I was thinking, it just looks like the UK, but once you're in the full game and you can explore all of the areas and get around the different parts of the country, because they've they've done Edinburgh and some of the East Coast and down into the Midlands a little bit. Yeah. And you start to get to places where you're actually familiar. And you were talking about a row of houses that you swear that you recognise.
It was like my street. Yeah. It was genuinely, it was like the street that I grew up in. I was noodling along.
He doesn't
180
doodle.
Miles yeah. an hour. And something went wrong and I hit something and fucking I'm gamboling through the air. And a couple of sheds and bushes later, I end up in this back garden. And I'm looking at this back garden and this house and I'm thinking, this is my parents' old house. this is exactly where I used to live. Down to the little details. Now, bear in mind that this is a back garden. Unless you've ploughed through the hedges and stuff, yeah. or you've driven down the little alley at the side of the house, you wouldn't see this. Mm. But there's little, like, gnomes, and there's a garden shed, and there's a little gate at the back that leads you into the field outside, and there's all these little bits of detail that don't need to be there. And on any other game, on any track-based racing game, you wouldn't get any of this. Mm. You'd only get what you can see from the track, like a yeah. kind of facade. But this is just, the level of detail in it is insane. I do find it quite interesting that you can, within the space of about 8 miles, you can get from the Cotswolds to Edinburgh.
yeah. It's probably similar like when you're driving across Edinburgh. I'm pretty sure that's not like a 2-minute journey.
No, I don't think so. But it's just, they did the same thing with Australia in Forza Horizon 3, but it's this compressed version of Britain that mysteriously has no traffic. There's a single motorway that is not gridlocked at all times of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a British simulator, it's not excellent. But
I don't want a Britain simulator. I live there.
No. Oh, good grief. But it just looks fantastic. It looks so good. You could identify like 4 or 5 different areas, or even more, of the country and go, this reminds me of this, or this reminds me of this area, or whatever it is. Apparently, every area in the whole of the UK has both red phone booths and stone, hand-built stone walls.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. And sheep. They exist across the entire of the UK.
I'm pretty sure sheep
do. Yeah, they might do. But, yeah, the handmade stone walls.
Handmade stone walls made out of popcorn.
Made out, yeah, as soon as you hit them with your car, they're just like, pop, 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 pop.
Apart from some walls
just
mysteriously solid. Yeah, I fall foul of that every now and again, because I'll be bombing it along at like 160 yeah. miles an hour.
Smash.
Miles an hour, by the way, I'd just like to point this out. Miles an hour, mm-hmm. not fucking kilometres per hour. And it absolutely confuses the hell out of me, being an American game set in the UK, using a unit of distance that neither of those countries use as the default setting.
Do you know,
I don't understand.
The dev studio,
I don't know,
is
whether
actually
that's poor
UK.
Research. Is it?
Weird. Oh, yeah. Right, there you go. Yeah, made in the UK. 1010 Studios.
I thought it was Microsoft Studios.
It's so. Microsoft Studios, Playground Games, and 1010 Studios are the ones attributed to it.
Right.
But it is a UK-based dev studio.
Well, why have they made everything fucking kilometres? And this, we fell foul of this when we were trying to work out the weight limits for a car the other day. And I changed all of my units to UK units. I'm using miles and pounds and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he still had his on kilometres and kilograms. So he's going, oh, this car weighs 1,200. I'm like, 1,200? My version weighs 3,700. How the fuck have they managed that? They've taken all the seats out. They've taken
filled
the
it
doors
with
off.
Helium and...
How the hell have they managed this? And I must have fucked around for around about 20 minutes before I realised that we were using completely different metrics to weigh this car. Look, there's a bunch of other stuff in it. So it looks gorgeous. The graphics are really, really nice.
Yes.
And for me, I had a tragic experience a couple of weeks ago where my monitor, God rest its soul, after 10 years of faithful service, decided that it was going to bite the big one just before Forza Horizon 4 came out. So I had to go ahead. Actually, it was just after
Literally
Forza Horizon 4
after,
came out.
Wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was playing it when it decided that it was going to keel over. And... So I got a new monitor. It's 144 hertz. Oh, God, don't even get me started on this. Fucking try to find... You used to just buy a monitor. Seriously?
Surely this is a subject for another podcast. All
oh,
by
God.
Itself.
You used to just buy a monitor. You go out and go, oh, I like whatever that manufacturer is.
Yeah, that one's
is,
square.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. I'm going to buy that. Nowadays, good grief, you've got all your G-Syncs and your FreeSyncs and your fucking all kinds of bollocks. Anyway, got this monitor, it's 144Hz, which means that I can't use V-Sync anymore and run at 60 frames per second comfortably. I need to pull as many frames per second as I possibly can out of my rig. And so I don't get screen tearing.
Mm.
And the game looks amazing, and I'm still pulling 110, 120 frames per second comfortably on ultra settings.
Mm.
So I'm pretty happy, and it looks... the thing just looks amazing. Not that you see most of the scenery as you're whipping past it at a ridiculous speed.
Yeah.
And actually, if you had the default settings turned on, they turn on kind of motion blur as well.
Oh, God, I hate motion blur. That's just like... Yeah. I'm, just smear Vaseline on my eyeballs, that's fine. That'll do the same thing.
Oh, God, I don't want to smear Vaseline on any part of you. Ever.
You don't knock it till you
right.
tried it.
Right, first impressions are really good. Graphics are fantastic, yeah?
Yeah.
When you first get into this game, you enter, and this is a bit confusing, I didn't really understand what was going on, but you enter the game. So the game has got seasons, right?
Yeah.
So when I first saw this, when the trailer first came out, and it was just like, it's like Forza Horizon 3, but it's in England, and we've got seasons, and I was there going, yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks for that gimmick that is utterly pointless. So what they do at the beginning of the game is they chuck you into kind of the tutorial mode, which is a case of do a bunch of races and we're going to do a lot of talking at you and explain the whole Horizon thing if you've never played a Horizon game before. And then it's going to artificially progress you through each of the seasons. So you get to play in winter, spring, summer and autumn. And then after that, once you kind of come out of the tutorial area, you're locked into whatever season that week is. So the season changes every week. So we're in, what, we're in spring at the minute?
No, we're in winter now.
We're winter at the minute. So we'll be spring next week, and then the week after will be summer, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So while you're going through this, while you're going through the tutorial, it shifts you through all of them. And having that quick jump makes you appreciate how much different they actually are.
Mm.
The driving in each season is quite significantly different.
Yeah, the same car would handle visually. Terribly in winter. When in summer, it's peak performance.
Yeah, exactly. And also, it's things like rain. So when you're in autumn, there's an awful lot more rain.
Leaves.
When you're in winter, obviously, it's frozen. There's leaves everywhere in autumn as well, which are slippery and make the change the way it's going. So the dirt tracks play completely different when the dirt is dry and compacted in summer to what they are when it's all wet and sluicy and covered in leaves in autumn and stuff like that. And it makes a significant difference. But then there's other parts of the game where, for example, there's a great big lake...
Derwent.
Yes.
That is frozen in winter.
Mm.
And you can get across it. And there's actually a drag race in the middle of it and a couple of like bonus boards that you can only get during winter because you can drive across the lake.
A barn find you can only get in the winter as well. There's all sorts of things they've done. And there's the free roam rush races are completely changed.
When the lake's frozen.
From one point of the map across to the other. And in the summer, you'd need to go across a bridge to get over the lake or around the lake. In the winter, you can just barrel across it. It's great. Such a clever touch.
Yeah. Ross, you've most recently done the kind of intro bit, right? Out of all of it, did you? Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your take on it? So when you were on your own, when you were just kind of... When you got into the game, there was nobody else, there was no multiplayer.
Yeah.
What was your feeling of it?
Even in the single-player mode, it is fun. Like, you... The way you experience all the different seasons and the different cars it puts you in to do those seasons initially, it's you get a feel for every different type of vehicle, and it's enjoyable in single player. It's even more fun in multiplayer and just having setting up the convoys and being in the groups. But yeah, the initial thing is not a boring thing to play through. It's a bit talky and it's unskippable, but I suppose it's getting people that have not played it before into the game.
Yeah, it is. I was all right with it. Because I find the voice acting quite good, actually.
Yeah, they are. They've got personalities rather than just talking.
Yeah, they're all. So I mentioned this
British
the other day,
as
and
well.
I might be. Mm. Yeah, well, this is the. I mentioned this the other day, and it does confuse me. So I find that we're well represented as a nation. So there's the main woman that is Irish, right?
Yeah.
Then there's a Scottish guy that does the barn finds,
Alex,
and then there's another British guy that does, I think, either the barn finds or the. Dirt racing.
Mm.
And then there's a bunch of other people that, like, one of them talks about dirt racing, one's about the cross country and all this. Yeah. And then there's a Twitch streamer, which I didn't really understand the or a Mixer streamer, sorry. I didn't really understand that. So
sorry, Microsoft.
Yeah, so they've got all of that in there. Where's the Welsh people?
Yeah.
Are we ignoring Wales?
Maybe they're an Easter egg.
And I was a bit confused because there's no... Because we've got England, and I understand having no Northern Ireland unless you've got a really big ramp in the game, right? Or like a ferry or something. I understand not having Northern Ireland, but while Britain and Scotland are represented, I felt like, barring the fact that the sheep in sporadic places, Welsh isn't particularly represented
in this ramp.
Yeah, this is why Elle's not playing.
Is that what it is?
She's been slighted.
She feels marginalised.
There's no Mordor. Yeah. stick an eye of Sauron in there and they'll be happy.
Actually, have you ever driven in Wales? This is why there's no Wales in it.
Yeah, well, you can't.
No, you can't. You can't get a buffalo at 40.
No, ever.
But you hit a mountain.
Yeah, so there was that. The talking, the voice acting and all the rest of it is... I really liked the intro part of the game when it jumps you through all the seasons, although it left me a bit confused because I wasn't really... I thought, God, is it always going to do this?
Yeah.
Is it going to keep hopping seasons and stuff? And I didn't really... It never really explained that this was a tutorial and that this wasn't the whole game.
There's like two tutorials though, isn't there? Because right at the beginning of the game, you've got that, like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, where it just goes through one race in one season, then the next race is in... In fact, there's a bit at the beginning where you're just driving one car in the very early part of the intro, where it just skips you between the seasons in one single scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Senna, is it? Or
yeah, you start off in the Senna, in the McLaren Senna. And, yeah. But when that flipped to the snow bit and you're going over the top of that mountain, that bit I was thinking, oh, God, look, it really does make a big difference. And that's mm-hmm. the first inkling I got about how the handling was going to work in the game, how the physics was going to work in the game. And I started to get quite excited at that point.
So if you're not into racing games, if these aren't your things, you're probably fucking turned off already. But if for some reason you can't find the skip button or the pause button or whatever, it doesn't drive like a simulation racing game.
No, it drives
now
like
it
Burnout.
It can. Well, the thing is, it can. It can drive more like a simulation racing game. It's never going to be. If you're massively into your kind of dirts or your rally games and the serious driving simulator games, none of the settings that you can turn on in this game are really going to give you the exact same experience. But then none of those other racing games have got the kind of open world driving that this game has got. And they don't tailor for the different surfaces that this game tailors for. Mm. So can you really compare?
You can turn on take off.
So you can go into the settings and the way that it works is to start with, I think you're on what, like 30% bonus money. So every race that you win a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And depending on your difficulty settings, you then get X amount of bonus money. So if you've got like normal steering turned on and normal difficulty drive avatars, which are the avatars, the NPC avatars that you're driving against when you're not playing online, and if you've got assisted braking turned on, and if you've got traction control turned on, all these assistive settings, if you've got them all turned on, you'll be at like 30% bonus money. If you turn them off, if you turn the driver tire difficulty up and if you change the normal steering to simulation steering and turn off ABS and disable traction control and disable, what's the other one? There's traction control and
stability control.
And then you can also turn off the driving line or you can make it corners only. There's all these different, and every single setting that you change slightly to make this game slightly harder ups the amount of bonus cash that you get for every race. So the harder you set the settings for yourself, the more money you're going to get. It's a really nice way of fine-tuning the difficulty.
Touched on the difficulty there, so can I just talk about how this compares to 3? Difficulty settings in 3 were similar. They had a similar setup, so you had bonus credits for changing the difficulty. To make it more difficult for yourself, you get more money. And the driver tires would, you know, they range from easy to unbeatable in exactly the same way in 4. If you turn it down to easy on 3, they basically push you over the start finish line.
It'll group up and wheelbarrow you around
on
the track
after you. But in 4, you still have to race. It's actually a harder game through the difficulties, and I found that on 3. We ended up when we, you know, by the time we finished playing, we got quite good at it, and unbeatable was quite easy for us. Now, We have to make sure our car is just nailed on good to be able to compete with the unbeatable driver tyres. It's a harder game, but better for it.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you play 3, Ross?
Yes, I did, yeah. Not to the extent you guys did. Like, I downloaded it and played it for a little bit, but I didn't really play any of the online parts of it.
See, he just said, oh, you know, we got pretty good and we turned on an unbeatable driver tires, right? I did not. Good. I was never that good at 3. I was okay at 3.
I was throwing you a bone.
But 3, you needed to throw me a bloody tow cable. I didn't find 3 as engaging as this one, and I enjoyed it, and I did play it for quite a long time. But this one's gripped me.
This is a better game.
Yeah, well, I think it just is. You'd expect it from a sequel. Yeah. You don't always get this from sequels. I mean, I know you didn't play it all that long, but what's your opinions of the differences between 3 and 4, Ross?
This has just ramped everything up. It's just it feels like a better game. It looks like a better game. The last one didn't look bad, don't get me wrong, but this looks amazing, and it handles so well. I can't make a massive judgment about the last one because I didn't play it that much, but this feels like the kind of racing game that I like. I don't like racing games, but this is one I want to come back and play like all the time.
It is a solid arcade racer that you can pick up and play.
One other thing on the difference between 3 and 4. In 3, we ended up choosing one car, basically. Maybe 2 or 3 cars, but we would end up racing in one car. You'd find the best car in the game, you'd tune it up.
It was all round.
Yeah, you tune it up for your purposes, and then you'd only drive that one.
Yeah.
4, you need your stable of cars. You need a car for all seasons. A car for each season, not all seasons.
Yeah.
You need 2 or 3 cars for off-road. You need one for snow, one for dry, one for mud. You need the same for on the road and for different situations on the road as well. So some of the road races are street races where you've got to race from one point to point. Some of them are circuit races, which are small, twisty, turny races. And you need different cars and different setups for each one of them. And that's for me, that's added so much meat to this game that I feel like I'm going to be kept occupied for quite a while yet.
It is a rich font of brum brum goodness. One thing to watch out for, because saying all of that, it could put people off, because it makes it sound like you've got to have like a million different cars and a million different tunings and setups.
Yeah.
And it's really complicated. And actually, you don't. You don't have to do that. If you want to do really well, if you want to drive against other players and do well against other players, and if you want to drive against the harder driver tires and change your driving settings so you're getting maximum money, that kind of thing is what you want to do. But a crucial thing, apart from certain races, when you go to start a race, it will, I would say 90% of the time, ask you what car you want to use. So you're not forced into a car, or you're not, for the most part, forced into a type of car that you don't like.
No.
But also, crucially, you're not forced into a class that you can't drive in. So the way that the cars work is, you'll buy a car and it might be D-rated. Not all of them are, some of them start higher. But let's say it's a D-rated car. Now, you soup it up, you put extra components on it, you change the engine, you change the wheels, the gearing, whatever it happens to be. Every better component you put on that car ranks it up and ranks it up until it becomes B-grade. And then you'll keep going until it becomes A grade, and you'll keep going until it becomes S1, S2, da da da. Now, certain types of cars are really well suited to being S2. So, the fastest cars in the game, the supercars that are designed to be glued to the road. But if you take a muscle car and you ramp it all the way up to S2, so it's bombing along at 230 miles an hour, this thing will not stay on the road. It will fucking leave the road entirely. You can't steer it properly. I mean, the amount of engineering that would have to go into making that work doesn't make any sense. You'd be better off changing the car. However, if you're not in a rush to get to S2, if you're not desperately trying to go as fast as you possibly can, tool the car to a grading that makes sense for that car.
Mm. Yeah, you know? I was playing around for ages with a course or something like that, but just to get it, like, rather than 899, to get it dead on 100, so it would be the top of the A class or B class.
Yeah.
Just that, it took ages to like take things off, add things to it, just to get it dead on 900.
There's loads of sweet little tweaks that you can do to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a big part of the game that also might put people off, is the thought of having to tune a car. And the game really does a brilliant job of catering for people like me and people like you. So people like me just want to get in the car and be in the best car it can possibly be with the least possible amount of work.
Yeah.
But Rich, you explain what people like you are like.
With decals.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not just the decals. I spent the better part on Sunday of probably 7 hours buying every single classic muscle car. Now, bear in mind that there are three different types of muscle car in this game. It's classic muscle, retro muscle, and modern muscle. I bought every single classic muscle car because, you know, science.
Jesus.
And I then proceeded to tune every single one of them bit by bit so that I could find the best classic muscle car.
By hand.
By hand, manually. So you can, if you want to, you can go into, there's like a tunings shop, and other people have tuned the cars to perfection to the way that they think works really well. And you can just pick one of their tunings, and people can rate it, so it's got like a star rating.
Yeah.
You can pick a tune that somebody else has made, and it will apply it to your car. And if you need to buy X amount of components, it will tell you, right, this will cost you £60,000 to put this tuning on.
Yeah.
But once you apply it, you can't change it. If you try to go into custom tuning, once you've applied somebody else's rig, it will say, you can't do this because this is somebody else's tuning, and we're not going to let you see what they've done.
They protect it.
This is hidden. Mm. Yeah. If you try and change it, it will take you all the way back to stock settings.
Yeah,
it
removes the entire thing that you've paid for.
Yeah, removes the... Yeah, well, no, you haven't paid for it because the components that you've bought, you still own.
Mm. Oh, right.
And you can always put it straight back on.
And you can always put it straight back on. It shouldn't. If you just want to reapply the same one, it shouldn't cost you anything. But yeah, I went through an awful lot of pain. I went through all these classic muscle cars and I was tweaking them. And the thing is, there's two different types of tuning. There's the first one is to put in the components on the car. And then the second one is, depending on the components you put on the car, you can then change differentials on the car. You can change the tire pressure, for example. You can change if you've got a spoiler on the back, you can change the downdraft on the car. You can change the weighting to weight it front and back. You can change the suspension. There's all of these little things that make little changes.
You don't
have
to.
You don't have to do any of this.
You can make it into as much of a sim game as you want, really.
Yeah, yeah. You get to play whichever way you want to play, basically. If you want this to be a sim game, you can do all of that. Mm. If you enjoy, like me... So, for example, I used to play Warhammer 40k. I used to love assembling all the figures, painting all the figures, you know, making my little armies and all the rest of it. But I enjoyed that more than playing the game. I enjoyed the painting. I enjoyed the designing and the artistic side of it more than I enjoyed playing the game. And I'm enjoying it in this. I really like it. I could spend ages and ages decorating the cars and tuning them up and messing around. And realistically, it's not gaining me anything, you'd think. But then when you come out after you finish doing all of this, it gives you a load of skill points.
Yeah.
So you get skill points for tuning the cars. You get skill points for buying new cars. You get skill points for painting things and all the rest of it. So the game rewards you for kind of however you want to play it.
Probably want to talk about the wheel spins is kind of the main currency in the game.
Yeah, so there's money, and then there's these wheel spin things. Do you know what? This is so difficult. We're going to have to blast through, because this is going to be a really long podcast about... So, I'm going to run through a couple of things, and stop me if you want to elaborate on any of them. So the first thing is as you're playing the game, and as you level up, there are tons of different ways that you can level up. There isn't one skill bar. There is one main skill bar that is your overall level.
Yeah.
But as you're leveling that main overall level up, you're also leveling up each different thing. So if you do a lot of road races, your road race rank will level up. If you do a lot of dirt races, your dirt race rank will level up. If you run speed traps, your speed trap rank will level up. And pretty much everything that you can think of, every different activity that you can take part in the game has got its own level bar.
Each time you level in each thing, you get something.
Yeah, so it might be a cosmetic item, it might be a car,
yep.
It might be a bit of money, or it might be a wheel spin. There's two different types of wheel spin in the game. There's a regular horizon wheel spin, and there's the super spin. The regular horizon wheel spin works a bit differently to the way that it did in 3. In 3, you got like a Wheel of Fortune wheel spin, but it would also tease you. It'd do a little cock tease, and it would go, here's what you could win if you're lucky, and it will show you like a really legendary car or something that is somewhere on that wheel that's spinning. Mm. And then you would get, I don't know, a hat. you'd just be forever furious. This one doesn't do that. It doesn't show you what you could potentially win. It just spins and you might get something great or you might not. And then the super spins, which are exactly the same thing, only it's like three wheel spins at once.
Yeah.
It's got three different bars and you can get three things.
It's
and
great.
Most of the time you get fucking nothing. Most of the time you get like I got like a hat, a horn, and
5,000
like
credits.
A pose or something. Yeah, the other day I didn't get very much. And another way that you can get these wheel spins is by buying houses. So houses are a new, I don't remember houses from the third game. Were they in there?
No.
Player houses.
No, there were there were four Horizon festivals, weren't there, in the last game?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah, expanded the Horizon festival. Yeah. So in this game, instead of expanding the Horizon festival into different areas, you've got one Horizon festival and you've got houses. You've got player houses around the place, so you can buy them. And if you get like the Horizon fucking rich person pass, you get given a house. But if you're like us Luddites and you haven't bought that, you've got to buy every house. And every like they start off really cheap.
I say really cheap.
They like start off 150 grand or something like that. And some of them will give you wheel spins. More importantly, they give you either a perk or they allow you to then fast travel to that house. And it makes it easier to get around the map. Until you get a particular house, there's one house that you can get which gives you a perk that allows you to fast travel to anywhere on the map. Mm. I encourage getting that as soon as possible because getting around this map can be quite tedious a lot of the time because it's very hilly and very difficult to navigate sometimes.
Do you know what? You say that. I've bought the treasure map, so I've gone around and knocked over all the fast travel boards, so I can fast travel around the map. Because normally, when you start the game, if you do fast travel, it costs you 10,000 credits to fast travel. Once you've knocked over all of the boards, it goes down to zero. And so I bought that, and I miss having to drive around the map to the different.
Yeah, you missed the kind of noodling about. Yeah. A little
I always
bit
get distracted when I'm on my way to something.
I feel like I'm missing out on that. Even though I'm actually getting to more races and more bits of the map that I want to get to quicker, I'm missing out on the bits in between. So I might go.
But the houses go all the way up to Edinburgh Castle, which I think is the most expensive. Bamburgh Castle and then Edinburgh Castle. And they're massively expensive. And they don't give you that much, I've got to be honest. But it's kind of an achievement to get there in the game.
It's a target.
So that's another new thing, the player housing. I mean, I find it a little bit superfluous, I've got to be perfectly honest. So the last thing to talk about very quickly is if you've played the previous Forza Horizon game and you're interested in getting to this one, is the skill tree. A massive change that they've made from Forza Horizon 3 to Forza Horizon 4 is the skill tree. In 3, you had a single skill tree. If you think of it like any kind of MMO or RPG game, you've got a skill tree. And the skill tree is attached to your person. And as you level up, as you get skill points, you apply those skill points into your skill tree and you get better at certain things. You don't necessarily get better at driving, but you'll get like more points for doing certain types of driving, or you'll get more points for doing near-miss skills, or more points for doing drifts and bonuses and stuff like that. In this game, they've detached the skill tree from the player character and instead attached a unique skill tree to every car. Now, I don't know how many cars are in this game, but it's a fucking lot.
450 plus.
Jesus.
Right. There are a lot, and every single one has got a completely different skill tree.
And
now, there
you
are
can
a couple,
own multiple cars of each one.
You can own multiple cars. And the other thing, if you buy a car and you level up the skill tree using your skill points that you've earned by doing things in the game, and then sell the car on the auction house, those points go with it.
Yeah.
So if you then buy another or get another version of that car, the skill tree is empty. So it's very much attached to the car. There's a weird little, I don't know if it's a glitch or what, but if you do own two copies of the same car, which it is possible to do, if you skill up one of them, the skill points are also on the other one.
Mm.
So while you have a car of that type in your inventory, the skill points are applied to both. If you sell one of them, the other one has still got the skill points attached to it.
I think
you have to sell
that.
Them both. Oh, have they?
Yeah, I think
when
so.
I tried it, you had to sell them both, so your inventory was clear of that type of car, and then it would erase it off. But it allows you to do loads of different things. And when we say a car for all seasons, you can tool up every car, and you can earn wheel spins by doing this as well, by putting skill points into the car. You can even earn money by putting skill points
and
into
cars.
It's a really good way of earning money. And cars. Some of the cars, the only way you can get them is by getting a different car and putting skill points into that car to unlock the car.
Yeah.
It's a lot of car.
It's a whole inception. It's a whole inception thing with car.
Carception.
It is just so much game, and it feels a bit overwhelming, and it looks on the surface of it, specifically hearing all of us. You've got three people here all talking about different areas of the game that they enjoy.
Mm.
And you don't have to do it all.
I think there's something here for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. When we were playing with Sarah online the other day, we were talking about the skill points and all the rest of it, and she was saying, no, I'm not doing any of that. I'm using them the way they're meant to be used. I'm spending my skill points on the cars that I like, and I'm playing around with those cars. And she hadn't necessarily explored the areas of the game that we'd explored. Mm. Or, you know, somebody like you, you don't want to sit down and tool every single car up, but I find a lot of enjoyment in doing it. And it's just there's a lot here. There's a lot for everybody, for every single person who wants to try something different in a racing game. And crucially, it doesn't feel like a racing game, or at least it breaks the mold. It breaks the my perception of racing games is not what this game is.
This Ross mentioned a game earlier. He said Mario Kart. This scratches my Mario Kart itch when we play multiplayer.
Yeah.
It's got that feel to it with the mayhem. And it
feels like an RPG on wheels.
The rage.
That's what it feels like.
I feel the rage when someone knocks me outside of a checkpoint. There's a lot in. There's a lot to this game that we still haven't even. We've not really completed.
We've barely scratched the surface. You guys are like level 100 and something. I'm still on 40s, but I don't feel like I'm massively behind you in the game.
No. Yeah. And that's a good thing as well, because it doesn't. You know, like some other RPGs, we could level apart. And it would break the game for us. Doesn't at all. It makes no difference.
I can still race with you in whatever races.
There is one last thing that we need to talk about, because we've spoken loads and loads, and I don't want to make this too long a podcast because it's only about one game. However, we've spoken about all these amazing things and fantastic things that are going on within the game. The graphics are great. The expandability, the different things that you can do in it are all fantastic. There's a couple of glitches in the way that you can drive around and a couple of annoyances that you might not like. But if you avoid that part of the game, then you can still really enjoy everything else, unless you want to play online. If you want to play online, some shit happens. So if you just want to play online, like at the core, if you just want to join what's called Horizon Life, and this is one of the problems, this is one of my issues with the game. So you have got an Xbox team, then you've got a Forza Horizon club, then you've got the Xbox voice chat group, then you've got the Forza Horizon Life session. Then you've got the Forza Horizon Convoy. Now, that's five places where shit can go wrong. And
three out of the five usually do.
Yeah. So we've had a really mixed experience. If you just want to join somebody's game and you just want to noodle around in the open world, it's not so bad, because you can join somebody's game, and when you finally get in, off you go and you start playing and everything's great. If you want to join an online race, for the most part, if you just stay in your own convoy and the leader picks a race and hits go, for the most part, it works, and you don't tend to get that many problems. When you want to play a true online game, if you wanted to go into what's it called? Team Adventure.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's two different types of Team Adventure. And what happens is you pick Team... The Horizon leader picks a Team Adventure. And they go, right, we want to do Team Adventure. And I want to do ranked... You can choose ranked or unranked. So to start with, you go unranked. Because unless you've got to a certain level, you can't do ranked. Let's go unranked. Now, I would say probably 70% of the time this works with multiple people, which is a
generous,
pretty good ratio. that's the unranked, right? This is the unranked. Now, that's not too bad. 70% hit rate.
100% right, of the time last night it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, God. So a lot of the time what happens is that one of you will get into the race and the others don't.
Mm.
Or none of you will get into the race because the race is in progress and you have to wait for that race to finish and then you can join on the next one. Or one or two of you will get into that race that's in progress and the other person, because there wasn't enough space, has got to wait until hopefully somebody leaves on the next race.
Yeah.
Now, that if that wasn't all annoying enough, The biggest fucking annoyance with the quick play team adventure is that you go through the whole team adventure and it's like there's five different races and it's best out of five. So it's, you split into two teams, the red team and the blue team, and whoever wins three races basically wins. Now, that's great.
Mm.
And you finish that and then you can't quit. You can't leave.
It dumps you into the next session.
It dumps you into the next queue. So it goes, thank you very much for playing. And rather than sticking you back in the like world, it goes, now we're going to queue you for the next
one. Yeah, but without a single way of actually leaving that queue.
And until you have to wait what can be up to 7 or so minutes until the race has started, the first race has started. And the reason it's that long is because a lot of the time you're waiting for Xbox players to finish loading,
which is
another fucking problem with the unlock. but you've got to wait 7 minutes until you're in the race. And then as soon as you get into the race, you start with the red team and the blue team, half of one of the teams will fucking vanish. Because they've all waited this long to quit.
Just to get out, yeah.
Just to get out, so everybody fucking quits. And then the rest of the people that are on the team go, what? And then they can't win. There's no way for that team to win anymore.
So that's how quick play is broken, but ranked...
It's such a stupid mechanic. That's quick play, and then ranked is a completely different kind of broken.
Yeah.
Ranked, you can't even join in the first place. And if you do somehow, through the wind being behind you and the planets being alignment, actually manage to join a ranked game, the chances of getting two of you in the same game, let alone three of you, are virtually non-existent. And the worst part about ranked is that if that happens, and if one or only two of you get in when there were three in the convoy, if you quit... You then can't queue again for another, like, 20 minutes. So it's like the game is constantly punishing you for trying to play it.
Yeah, try and play with your friends.
That one part of the game is a bit broken. I'm really hoping that they fix it, because it is when it works, it's a lot of fun. And I'm sure they will fix it, but it's good that we've had a balanced look at this game.
Yeah, I needed to have a rant.
Yeah.
Right, look, we need to go. We need to stop talking about it, because we wanted to keep this as... small as possible, so somebody's gonna have to edit the bollocks out of my ranting. Oh, this has been Ready Player 2, episode 81. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, good grief. This has been a lot about Forza. We're gonna get back to some regularly scheduled broadcasting next time, but I think we're gonna do some more of these little, more compact episodes with a few of us. Mm. Just shoot a couple of mini pods out there and see how people take them. You can find all of us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find us on Acast. And I should have the list up.
Go to Twitter.
Where people can find us. Go to Twitter. The answer is to just go to Twitter. Just find us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. And our first pinned tweet has got a link to all the different places you can find us online. You can find me at Zebwen, that's Zebwen, on Twitter. You can find Ross at...
RossBell1984.
You can find Lee at...
at ZZLeeZZ.
And am I supposed to say anything else to anybody?
Should we give out our... Xbox and thing code so people can find us and play with us with Forza.
Oh, what? So that regular people can find us.
Well, listeners.
I don't want to team with more people on Xbox. It'll take me even longer to load. No, good point. All right, that's fine. Do you know what? I don't know if I can remember what my Xbox gamer tag is.
That's fair. Mine is Johnny Cashmere, JOHNNY space KASHMIR. Add me on there.
Mine is ZZLeeZZ68. It's just a random number. It's nothing to do with my age.
Mine is Zebwen. That's ZEBWEN. Same as my Twitter handle. Go on. Go ahead and add us on Xbox.
Yeah.
But if you talk to me too much or are really bad, I might have to defriend
you. Yeah, we can always block you. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it. that'd be good. If you are playing Forza Horizon 4 at the moment and you want to team up, if you want to get into the Ready Player 2 club, if you want to join us in our Horizon convoy while we're noodling around, then that'd be great.
Yeah.
Let us know on Twitter or just join us on Xbox Friends. Right, is that it? Can we go? Can we call it a day?
We've got another four games to talk about now, haven't we?
No, we don't. We're leaving.
What?
Thank you very much for listening.
I wanted to talk about VR.
Stop talking. Stop talking. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 81. We're going to go away and murder Lee now. Good night.
Goodbye. There's nothing for you here. Oh, Jesus Christ. Hello.
Can't spell aneurysm.
We try something new and he comes along and fucks it up.
Assume the position.
Wish Lee was sinkable. Good day!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.